That's right.
No aggression.
Okay. And what we have today is four or five alum are coming in to tell you about their jobs, and they will introduce themselves and tell you what they do and tell you about their jobs, and you are invited to ask them questions that you've always wanted to know about the career that you are planning to go into. So I will stop talking. The recorder is going. Joanne, why don't you come up first?
Is it okay if I sit right here?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
You can have the tall chair.
So, some 33 years ago, this building was brand new. And I still remember the class that I was taking. It was a spring class up in K204. And it was accounting, and the assistant there wanted to thank the then Governor Dukakis for this building, because the state is instrumental in helping us build out our plant. So she had us print out, and I don't even know what it was. What was that? Print Shop Plus or something, which was not even around probably when any of you were born. But it was something that you could print out a banner on a pin-fed printer, and we literally, he was flying by in a helicopter. He couldn't stop. So we plastered the walls up on the second floor of K Building so that he could see it as he came by. I don't know that he actually saw it. But that's my story of this building. And I've spent over the years a lot of time in this building. You all have the good fortune of being able to do a lot of your work remotely. Back in the day, K-130, where there's a bunch of computers, there was offices there, but before that, there was actually computer labs there, and that's where I spent all my time. All my free time. No free time. There. Coding. Because back then, there was just one program. I know that this is the first in a series of courses, and you get to decide what's going to be your concentration. Back then, there was no concentration. It was computer programming, and that was it. That was your choice. So I graduated some 30 years ago from this program and went on to get my bachelor's degree at Rhode Island College. When I first transferred to Rhode Island College, the best transfer path for computer programming back then, and again, you have a lot of flavors to choose from now, was transferring into computer information systems. So programming with a little bit of a business flair. So I transferred to Rhode Island College. But when I got there, I realized, wow, for yet another year, and I had already been in it 3 years, so what did it make the difference? I could get a computer science degree. So it was really an interesting, and for those of you choosing that path, either, say, you know, the traditional CIS programming or computer science, more math-based, it was so interesting to see the dynamic or the folks that I would go to school with, because it's like I had one toe in one world and one toe in another world. I'd be with a whole bunch of folks that were just really, you know, technical, and then for my businessy type programming classes, it would be folks that were more like project management and things that were totally, completely different. So that was actually an interesting experience. Right thereafter, I did get a job at a college, right out of college, doing technical support, PC support and the like, light programming, since we were a buy operation. And a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I've worked in higher ed ever since. So I am not as hands-on as it's ironic because when I graduated from my bachelor's degree, it was a good time. There are good economic times and bad economic times for jobs. I was fortunate. I was offered four jobs, one of which, the earliest job, was in February before I even was graduating. And this was a job that was going to take me, and I kick myself now because I'm from New England, I'm from this area like many of you, and if you know anything about us, we don't leave, do we? We never go anywhere, we just stay here. So the first job that I was offered in February was to travel around the world. And it just gave me what Italians would call agita, the thought of spending, you know, 9 months overseas, you know, working on a team of programmers for a big six accounting firm, the thought of it just was scary to me, so I did not take that job. So then I was offered a job as a programmer in Dedham, And I took that job. And I realized it's not for me. So here I had gone through here. I had done business stuff. I enjoy technology, but I don't think I could sit in a cubicle all day. So I quit that job after like 2 days. That's when I got the job at the college, and I haven't looked back since. So here, I have the luxury or the joy of being able to have a lot of technical folks that I work closely with, many of whom code. There's a lot more than there ever was. I've been at the college for 22 years, and things have changed a lot. I've advised a lot of the students that have come through this program, and I talk to them right when I first used to meet them and say, what are your interests? What would you like to do? I didn't have all those choices when I went to school. And now there are so many choices. But I tell them, if I was to be able to choose, like if I was a student right now, I think that I would probably most enjoy focusing in cybersecurity. To me, that is a very interesting area, a new area, and has amazing potential. I don't necessarily want to be the one looking at the logs day in and day out. I want to be on the back end, the forensic end, because I really love a good challenge, a good mystery, a good trying to figure things out. But if you think about it, you know, there was no such thing as VMware, for those of you that know about that. There was, you know, networking was minimal. There was NetWare. I mean, it has changed completely, and we've had to change. So we have, you know, in my area, in IT, we have about 80% of us are actually Bristol alums. So we hire our own, we grow our own, we do well with that, and I'm one of them, so I guess I lead the charge in hiring the folks that graduate from this program. But we are very lucky in that we get the good opportunity to dabble in a lot of things. So, you know, yes, we have some folks who sit in a cubicle, like I had to quit after 2 days because that was definitely not going to be my path. But they also get to go out and meet with folks around the college and get to know areas of the college. It's ironic, and you'll find this too when you get to the point where you're in a job, is that you, in some cases, the people that you work with or the people that you help, you end up knowing their job, in many cases, better than they know their job. And we find that, you know, if you think about the work that we do, say, with financial aid, the offices you interface, the enrollment center, and the like, we know, in some cases, more about how to make the registrar's office work than the registrar. And that's pretty fulfilling, because if you think about it, if you decided, hey, this isn't for me, you totally could flip and become a registrar. Not that I advise that, but that's been my path. It's interesting. I get to enjoy the, obviously, being around students. I think I claim that it keeps me looking young. I don't know if that's really what it is, or even if it's just in my mind that I look young. But it is nice being in a campus environment. So, with all that being said, I kind of glazed over what I am, who I am. Can I answer any questions about the program, my experience in the program, which is very limited? But this building was here. I do have to say that. Any questions? Ideas, thoughts about, so what are you all thinking? I know this is the, what we call at the college, this is the gatekeeper class. You know, you got to get through this class to really be successful in any one of the college programs. And each of our programs, honestly, has one of these. You know, this just happens to be the class for the CIS programs. I took an iteration of this class. As did all of the guests here today. So we know we've walked many miles in your like you did in your shoes, and it can be tough, and it can seem like it can get ahead of you. But that's been my pleasurable experience, and Mrs. Gross has been here since then. So it's not like I only know her in a professional. She was my faculty member back in the 80s. So, does anyone have any questions?
I actually have a question, but it's about interviewing for an interview job.
Okay.
My name's Melinda. I'm in cybersecurity.
Okay.
Digital forensics. My question is, usually on a job interview, they ask what a weakness and a strength is. So what would you consider saying about that for a computer job? Because right now for me it's JavaScript, but I'm not going to say JavaScript.
It's going to be your weakness.
Right now it's my first semester, so I find that my weakness right now is JavaScript.
So if it were me interviewing for a job, obviously you always put your pluses first. But I think that sometimes what I've always read and what I've always experienced, and when I've interviewed, which was a long time ago, but when I interview people, the best way to do that, and when I'm on a search committee, what I'm looking for, is something that, even though it's a negative, is really a positive. So, in some cases, what I might say is something like, sometimes I find myself paying too much attention to detail. Which, if you think about it, for most any position, yes, that might be seen like you spend too much time on, but really for a job like you're looking for, that's actually a positive, spending too much time and attention to detail. And I have to, so you say, I sometimes have to tell myself, take a step back, but then I go ahead and I find something that I really want to find, so in a sense, you've really flipped it and made it seem like a positive. So that's what I personally try to do. And hope that, you know, when I'm interviewing someone, it's not that you're really looking for someone's weakness. The way that I've done it more recently is potential for growth. It's not, so you're saying JavaScript is not necessarily your strength right now, but it's your potential for growth that you're looking for.
Yeah, that sounds more positive.
It totally sounds more positive. Totally. Other questions? Come on, folks must have some questions.
Well, we've got five more people to go, so.
Go right ahead.
My grandfather used to work here, and I was wondering if you might recognize his name.
I may not, but certainly, what's his name?
Russ Melham.
Oh, of course I know Russ. And Priscilla would know Russ. We liked Russ a lot. Russ was a veterans counselor for the college for, probably 40 years, I would say. Very, very well-respected man. Yes, I was at the college when Russ was here. Yeah, absolutely.
Weird question. Right now we're mostly talking about like the programming aspect of computers and stuff like that. What about like manufacturing them? Is that like
physicalness?
Yes.
So I think that depending on what your future goals are, and it's funny because I read a lot of posts. I have kids that are, you know, your age, going to college, and I sometimes answer questions on boards just because I have, you know, because now technology has gone in so many different directions. So people will say, well, what's the difference between CIS? What's the difference between computer science? What's the difference between computer engineering? So I would say, personally, computer engineering. So if you were thinking that you were going to focus the future on the physical aspects of technology, then if you were to say transfer, say, and I'll just use UMass Dartmouth as an example, UMass Dartmouth's transfer, you would probably want to get into their School of Engineering and do computer engineering. So the courses that you would take here, you would want to line that up, because that would be, you know, the area that you would go for, the physical nature of designing whatever it is. My life's probably kind of boring compared to the other coder type folks that you might want to hear from.
Well, I want to bring up others because yes. I've got only an hour more.
Only an hour more.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Right, come on.
Want to Laura?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I probably need to log in.
Good morning, everyone. My name is James Simos. I was a student here at BCC back in the day, graduated in 2011. Since then, I've kind of moved on. I'm a software engineer, mostly building web apps, some mobile apps, using hybrid stuff, so I'm still sticking to web technologies. So pretty much everything I'll talk about today will be like web technologies and like the stuff that I see in my day-to-day at work. And that's kind of, I'm just got my phone, I've got some notes.
Yeah, so I went to graduate from Diamond, 05 in auto mechanics, and started in that trade for a while, and quickly realized I didn't like the idea of like the little bolts falling into like crazy behind engines, and like it's not real, like it didn't make sense to me. So I knew I wanted to do something different, so I ended up enrolling here at BCC, taking Priscilla's class. I actually came here to become a teacher, but once I took CIS, I realized I probably should at least test this out because the money's good, right? And obviously we're working to make money. And fast forward, it was tough. I don't know how many incompletes I had from Priscilla. but I managed to somehow pass and graduate, and then I went to Wentworth, graduated from there with 3.8 GPA and summa cum laude. During that whole time, I was working full-time as well. I shifted from auto mechanics to working at a startup in Taunton that did automotive inventory management for like Subaru and Kia. So it was kind of like perfect storm. Like I could use my technology, like my experience with auto mechanics, and like my drive and what I was doing in technology to land this job. And I started there doing general IT support. And I did that for about 3 years, and I was running the IT department and had a couple. Our company grew from like 30 to 80. We had a couple satellite offices, so I was maintaining all the servers and stuff like that. Towards the end of that time, I decided that I wanted to, I saw that there was a need at the company where they couldn't hold on to developers. Developers were coming in and out, and they couldn't keep them. And there was a need there, right? They needed to deliver software and deliver value to the customers. And so I decided during the Christmas time, sometime I had off towards the end of the year, to go out and actually pick up some of the work that they needed to do with the development and bring it into work on Monday, which I did. And then at that point, I was given the choice to either keep going in the IT department or switch over to software development. And when I talked to my boss at the time, he pretty much told me, like, you're going to make a lot more money doing software development. So I was like, all right, we'll do that. So I went into software development, and a couple of years later, I ended up getting hired, finding my current job. So now I work at Optum, which is a healthcare technology company out of Boston. And I was hired there as a senior software engineer, senior JavaScript applications developer. But now my role has kind of expanded, and now I do a little bit more than just JavaScript, JavaScript applications. What I do now, pretty much, as I work on an agile team for Optum, and what we're able to do is the project we're working on is a social determinants of health. So we understand that there's a lot of data, and we understand to make health get better for people. We want to prevent them from getting sick, find them ways to get them help and resources before they end up in an emergency room, because that costs a lot of money. So our project, I'm just going to go a little high level, talk about some of the different data jobs that we're there, and I think you guys get them kind of the pieces together. But we know we have a lot of data coming from different sources like jails, emergency rooms, hospitals, community centers, ER visits. So we collect that data, we built and put it into a data pipeline, and then we give data scientists tools to look at that data to find trends, right? And then we also built our own tool, and this is the part that I directly lead, is like we built an iPad that will be inside of these clinics in Hawaii where people come in and they answer questions, right? And then we crunch up the answers, and we can assess if this person's a high profile, at risk for some type of like homelessness, or if they need to get in touch with somebody that can get them, food, help them apply for some benefits or whatever. And also domestic violence was another good one. We actually built the software to ask people if they want to, there was this case where this couple was inside of this clinic in Hawaii, and she was a victim of domestic abuse, or he was a victim of domestic abuse, I don't know. One of the people were a victim of domestic abuse, and because of our tool, they were able to answer the question, and the person in the back that sees the results and like will connect the person with the community resource, was able to see that person was being a victim of domestic abuse, and they were able to resolve that. so that was one of the good things. Yeah, so that, so, you know, there's a lot going on there, right? In my day-to-day, I probably interact with, I don't know, 30, 40 different people, you know, all ranging from people that are strictly doing business, business analysis, business, you know, figuring out what part of the market we're trying to solve, what problems we're trying to solve, right? And then there's a team that has to make sure that they can connect those goals with actually developing the right software to meet those goals. And then there's, you know, there's data scientists, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there. We also do, I come from a hardware background as well. Like, I did a lot of physical stuff, working on servers and stuff. That's no longer happening in my job. That's kind of been gone away, and it's now in AWS. You guys have heard of AWS, Amazon Web Services, you know, Cloud, Azure, right? So everything that we do as a team, we are deploying to the cloud, meaning that there's no physical service that we maintain. Everything that we interact with, like servers and, you know, data storage blobs, that's all done by code. So we are all checking that in. We're reviewing it as a team. And then we deploy that code, and that code gets automatically deployed, and that infrastructure gets provisioned for us. So there's something else to think about. I come from a software background, so I'm just going to show you guys something that I think, if anybody else is interested in software, should probably look at this. This is the Stack Overflow developer survey. And I just want to kind of go through this with you guys. I'll just skim through it with y'all, and you guys can, if you guys have any questions, or like, I can just point out what I think is important here, if you guys want to focus on it. I mean, does anybody know what Stack Overflow is? I'm sure you guys all do, right? When you're stuck with homework, you guys go to Stack Overflow. If you're not, you will do that when you start working. But yeah, so just real quick, so, you know, as we skim through this, you can kind of see a lot of things here that are going to stick out, that you guys are going to be like, oh, this is great. So, like, educational. So, as you can see, like, 45% of... So, this survey was conducted by this company, Stack Overflow, of the engineers that are in the trades, so people like me. So, this is just... I was going to skim through a lot of this with you guys, and then, you know, you guys can connect the dots. So, you know, bachelor's degrees, a majority of those people. I'm going to come down here... So again, like, I build a lot of JavaScript apps, and you can see, like, JavaScript is a big place. A lot of the jobs are 67% JavaScript out there. So there's other things here that, you know, maybe you guys know about, but it's just something to keep in mind as you guys are pursuing, like, you know, what to learn, what to think about. Most loved, most dreaded, most wanted. You know, I'm not going to go into all of this, but I think that some of these other ones are really important. You know, this is a big one, I think. You know, how satisfied people are with their jobs. I mean, I love my job. You know, I'm able to work from home a majority of the week, and I'm able to, like, watch my daughter grow up. And when I do have to go to the office, I have a nice office in Fenway, which is nice. You know, Do developers need to become managers to make more money? I mean, this is a pretty big one, I think, too, right? Like, no, 51% don't feel like they do. So there's a lot of opportunity. And as you guys can see here, like, a lot of these things that I talked about, you know, data scientists, business analysts, you know, engineering manager, data engineer. The other thing that I'm really passionate about is I was born here in Fall River, and I'm proud to be here in Fall River. And as the speaker before me said, like, once we're here, like, we really don't go anywhere. But I mean, we'll see. But I do want to help. I want to get people in Fall River really active, because I feel like there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of untapped potential in the individuals. And so part of the thing that I do as well, like, I do meetup groups from time to time over at the Business Innovation Center on Columbia Street. Has anyone heard of it? Alright, it's just like this, like, incubator space where, you know, I'll get together with a bunch of other people, and we'll bring up a topic and we'll chat about it, and sometimes they'll do a little bit more structured. Like, last summer I ended up having one of my friends that works for Ionic, which is a company. Anybody heard of Ionic? No, they're a pretty big company. And my buddy Mike came down to Fall River and spoke, and he travels the world speaking. You know, he was just in Netherlands and Europe and all that. So if you guys want to check that out, that company is called Poco, and you can go to pocostud.io, so think Poco Studio, and separate pocostud.io. And if you guys want to get a hold of me there, you can fill out the form and message me, or find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. Yeah, there's a lot. So any questions?
I think we're probably going to hold the questions, okay?
Okay. Time for just one?
So how did you get connected with that first startup that you got your first job at? How did you find out about it?
I think Craigslist, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or those other jobs, sites out there, Monster.
Yeah, Monster,
Indeed. Yeah, what I would suggest if you guys are having, if that's like, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, you should create a LinkedIn profile, because that's where all the recruiters are. If you guys ever, you know, once you have a LinkedIn profile, you know, you have to battle with these recruiters.
Usually, yeah.
So if you don't have one, create one. If you have one and you're not getting that much involvement, ask someone why. Like, you know, maybe ask a peer or a professor or someone like me or any of the other graduates here, and what can I do to make it look more appealing. But you'll get a lot of attention out of it. No problem.
Hello, my name is Carolyn. I work at State Street Bank up in Boston. It's a investment management bank. It's not like a commercial bank. It's huge globally. So I was at BCC maybe about, I think it's been 4 years now, and got that job right out of being here. I got it through Priscilla. It was her neighbor, I guess, was looking for somebody, and they couldn't find anybody who would be willing to do virtual basic programming with Access databases. And I love programming, I love databases, so it sounded good to me. And it's worked out really well. I love my job. And I gotta tell you right now, I hate finance. But luckily, coding, when you're in a company, you're doing logic, you're doing coding. And generally I can get by, like, without knowing that much about finance. And in my previous life, so I was only here for 1 year. I got a certificate in programming because I already had a bachelor's degree in computer information systems. And I had worked for a few years when I first graduated college a long time ago. And then I became a stay-at-home mom. And I stayed at home much longer than my kids did. So I had to make up some time because I had been out of the industry for 25 years, and you can't just jump back into it. So I came here and did the certificate, which is a one-year program, just to brush up my skills, and it was great. It was a little scary at first, but it worked out well. And so back in my early days, the first time I got, it's not always easy to get that job, as you all know, even in field like computers where you hear there's all these jobs out there. It's not easy looking for a job. And my first job I got by working at a temp agency and just going to different companies and working as a secretary or whatever for a while. And one of those I worked at for a couple months and they needed a programmer and so they hired me. So you can get in the door any way you can when you're looking. So back then, I was working for a subcontractor to the Navy base over in Newport. And I'm also, besides not liking finance, I don't really like war stuff. So there I am. I was working on the war game system. Right? Not a good fit, you think? But it's logic. It's programming. And that's, you know, that's every industry has programming. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to just look for, oh, I wouldn't like that and skip that. I mean, it worked out well for you being in the automotive thing, having that as your background, getting a job through that. But you don't have to look for that when you're looking. So now I work, as I said, with Access databases. I make what they call critical tools for in-house teams. And I've got one going live. It was supposed to be last week, but they decided to put it in a new shared drive and everybody has to get access. So I'm given an extra week on that, which is a good thing. It's going live so this week. And what it does, briefly, is so they get a list. There's going to be a Excel file, basic Excel file, with basic information in it about investment accounts that need to be renewed in certain markets around the world. You have to renew on an annual basis or whatever, and certain documents are required to do that. So the client has to fill these out. So you get this Excel file in, reads all the data in, it pulls some information from other sources, and then it pre-fills the documents that are required for the market and prepares emails to those clients with those documents attached and puts them in a big queue, and then it can send those from another form. And then there's a whole bunch of processing after that that needs to follow them through as the documents go from one place to another and make sure that they get renewed by their due date. And there's all sorts of management reporting and red flags going up. They don't make these certain cutoff dates. And so it's pretty complex. I don't know if any of you have taken any Access database courses here when you do it. You know, it's fun. You do a little form. It's got a few things on it. It's a lot of fun. But Access can actually do a whole lot more than that. It's pretty detailed, so I'm enjoying it. What else shall I tell you? So, for me getting into computers, into software, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And if you like solving puzzles and challenges, and you don't mind little things that stop you, like you have to find this one stupid little character that's wrong, because that will throw everything off, then it's good. Go forward with it. It doesn't matter what field. If you get really annoyed with those little one-character things and you lose your mind over it, maybe it's not the thing for you. But again, you know, it's a job. You have to like it, but it doesn't. You don't have to go into it because it's your hobby. You know, if you love gaming, you don't have to make that your job. That can be your hobby, and you can get a job in. You know, if you like the computers, you can get a job in anything, or you can get a job someplace else and stick with gaming as your hobby. So, you know, keep your options open, mind open, and just put all you can into it, because it does pay off. It does pay off. Okay? Good.
Francisco, you want to go?
Yeah, sure.
People leaning against the wall looking at the last test.
I'll try to be quick. Good morning. My name is Francisco Becker. I grew up here in Fall River. I'm originally from Brazil. Came to BCC. I graduated with an Associate's in Computer Programming around 2012. So like many of you, you know, I was interested in programming. I was always really good with computers growing up, and I attribute a lot of that to being the oldest kid in my family and having a Windows PC at home, and then it's constantly breaking down. People don't know how to fix it. So then I learned a lot about computers just through that. But I only really learned how to program here at BCC, so that was my first exposure to programming, and I really loved it. I fell in love with it, and I was doing PHP and MySQL at that time. That was really like amazing to me, because I had to go into the server and then write these scripts, and these scripts would communicate with the database and show everything on a web page, and I thought that was amazing. So that's kind of like what I do now, but like on a much bigger scale. So at that time too, I was working full time and doing labor jobs, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to go back to school, because I was like, I'm too smart for this, you know, I can't, you know, to like do away with this precious brain. No. But like if you feel like the same way, that's because you know life's telling you to go one way. And I still have only an associate's degree in computer programming. Don't really look too forward my education academic wise, but I do get certifications outside of work. So just recently I got 2 AWS certifications, and I'm going for a third one now. What I do currently now, I work at Fidelity, Fidelity Investments, which is a big financial institution. And they work with, you know, they do a lot of 401ks, investment accounts, and things like that. So what I'm working now is I'm part of this team called the Cognitive Team. And Fidelity has been pouring a lot of money into, like, making experiences better. Like, nowadays you can connect to the web through many devices, through, like, Alexa, or, you know, we're creating what it's called these virtual assistant experiences, so a lot of natural language processing and understanding, like text to speech and things like that. So that's what I've been focusing on, mostly writing JavaScript in the back end by using what is called Node.js. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. So that's my primary tool for the job. And my first job was actually appointed, like, in the field. Right, in the computer programming field, was the point that was someone came in looking for new talent, and Professor Grosser appointed me to talk to this person, and then I, you know, took that job, and that my first few roles were primarily front end based, but then eventually I'm more of a back end guy, and then eventually I kind of just progressed my way into working with servers and things like that. So that's what I've been doing now for the last 5 years, primarily just focusing on back-end code and infrastructure. And the thing that you learn as you progress through your career, if you're a computer programmer, is that once you start, you're kind of working on interesting things and you're fixing, you know, you're building things, and it's really cool. And then you start architecting, and then you start realizing that you have to, like, understand how to create the work, right? How to envision the work that's to come, and how to break that work down so that you can have like a whole quarter worth of work to do. And then at the same time, you have to make sure that the code that you're writing is quality assured. So you have to build tests and work with QA and things like that. So doing end tests. So there's a lot involved with. It's not just writing code. There's a lot. As soon as you write code, you're maintaining code, and that means a lot from a whole bunch of different perspectives. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool, if you like solving puzzles, like they said, it's a pretty cool profession to have, and you're going to be stuck with that screen for many hours, but if you're okay with that, then there are perks, you know, you get paid well, you can work from home. If you don't like dealing with people, that's even better. but that's about it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Hey, I'm Pat. I work at Progress Software. I was in your seat in 2013 to 2015. Took all the classes and all that fun jazz. Before that, I have a bachelor's degree in geography, working with geotechnology, urban and regional planning, and I was working with historical aerial photography for a small firm. What happened was a big company, the little company, I got laid off, and I was looking for work. It was either go this way, which is environmental engineering, or this way, which is computer science, and came here to check it out. Talked to Professor Grosser and was like, hey, you think I can get a job if I do all this? She's just like, we'll see. You're going to have to do your work. And I was just like, all right. So went through it. You know, took Igor, took all, everybody here, you know, took all the, I went the programming field. I got an internship. I was one of the tutors here. I'm moving fast because I try to keep it brief.
Give me a job.
Got an internship toward the tail end. Do they still have that here? Co-op?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. I worked for the town of Wareham for a little while with their IT department, and geared up for finding a job around January. I was graduating in May, and I went through three companies just trying to find work, and I graduated May 30th, got a job June 1st, working in progress from networking from a friend, and through just trying to find, just talking to people and stuff. I work as a technical support engineer, and what I do is I work with like web components. I specialize mostly, if you ever heard of Kendo UI, Telerik, and Progress, that's where I'm at, and we do like specialized tech support, so it's not like I get 100 calls a day and it's like, oh, my computer's not working. It's more like, our component, something's wrong with it, I'm not sure how to implement it, and we get like customers from all over the world. Including NASA, which is awesome. it's a good time. I think one of the best things you can do right now is just learn how to network, how to talk to people, and talk to professors, learn as much as you can. There's a ton of work you have to go through. It's insane. You've seen the website that Professor Grosser gives you. It's insane, and it's going to get worse. But you're going to learn so much. This is a good baseline for you all. And when you get through it, you're going to be feeling pretty great. Whether you go to get your bachelor's afterwards or if you go right to the job market, that's on you. And you can go wherever you want to go as long as you push hard enough. How many of you guys are programmers? How many of you are networkers? Security? And gamers? There you go. And each of you are going to go one way or the other. And, your profession might change like that. Like, I have a friend of mine who did, he went into video gaming, and he ended up going to Bose. the sound. And now he's doing something with IT just in general, and he's happy. Working in IT is great. It has great perks. I have infinite vacation and sick time. I have a standing desk that goes up and down. We have a big break room with a pool table, an Xbox 360, foosball, everything's there. Full kitchen stacked full of candy and peanuts and coffee forever and ever. We have 9 vacation day holidays, but obviously with all the vacation days. Believe me, it doesn't have all its benefits. You don't think it kind of works on the end. You feel bad. You don't want to take the days off and all that. But I love my job. It's really hard. It's challenging. I work with a bunch of geniuses. One guy works closely with Microsoft. Because of him networking, I spoke at Microsoft this year through their Insider Developer Tour, which was like a global thing. It was a lot of fun. I'm talking about progressive web applications, which is like adding native ability into your web application and stuff. It's really cool. Who's heard of Angular? Just curious. Angular, React, WebAssembly, Blazor. These are all things that are coming out. Those are things that are really cool. Check them out. AR, VR, also really cool. A-Frame, web VR. I'm just throwing it out at you just to kind of check it out. It's things that, like, if you're into programming, you want to know what's coming out, want to get pumped, this is it. It's going to be fun. So when you get into that field, once you get that baseline down, you're going to be able to just jump and go, what do I want to do? And just push. It's going to be fun. I swear. But it's going to be challenging as well. I tried to keep it as brief as I could.
Alright, first things first. I know what y'all are thinking. Why does she have this guy in here? He obviously graduated in the 80s. But, to be honest with you, it has been a while, because I work at Meditech, which is a software company. We have one big facility here in Fall River. This January, I'm about to celebrate my 10-year anniversary, which gives me a lot of extra perks, which I'm happy about. But here's my story, okay? I was in textiles my whole life. Unfortunately, 10-plus years ago, I couldn't speak Chinese, so my job went with everybody else's over to the Far East, somewhere. So I'm stuck. I've got a family to support. I've got a mortgage to pay. And I've got no income. Well, fortunately, the government did have a program that if you lost your job to imports at that time, they were paying you 2 years of schooling, whatever, pretty much whatever you wanted. They had a list of things. So I'm looking at that list thinking, I wouldn't like that, that's stupid. I'm going to lose my job if I do that, forget that. I got to computer programming, and I was like, I don't want to lose my job again. That's for sure. And I know computers ain't going anywhere. So I'm going to become a computer programmer. So I looked at it, and they offered it two places. They offered it at BCC, and they offered it at New England Tech. And they were about equal. This one was a lot closer for me. It was just a tad bit rated better. So I was like, I'm going Fall River, man. I'm not going to drive all the way over to Warwick. Let me tell you something. All I can tell you is this. If you want a career where you're going to have a future, you're not going to get laid off, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. You're at the, and I will tell you this too, you're at the right place to learn it. I've been at Meditech at 10 years. I only went there with an associate's degree. I didn't have any more money to pay for college. One thing I liked about Meditech, they were one of the few companies that would hire you with just an associate's degree. And I understand why, because we have our own proprietary languages. They're not Java, they're not whatever. However, I will tell you this much. Every language, I don't care what it is, they're all built off of logic. The same stuff that you're going to learn here. The if, thens, the do, untils. It's all that same principles. And if you can get that, this is what I learned here, okay? This is what I tell pretty much every time I come back. I just try to be honest with you guys. You can have a great career with a lot. You can make a lot of money, and you can have, what's the word? You can have, you don't have to do like I did, worry about getting laid off. So it's a solid place to be. And I tell every class when I come back here, I personally thought Professor Grosser gave way, way, way too much homework. I mean, she was crazy, man. I mean, I used to sit in her class and think, this lady doesn't realize that I have four other classes right now. She has no clue. And all I can tell you is this. I had an advantage over a lot of other students. Like, it was kind of odd being in here, because you know you always go into class and you see that token old guy. Well, I was that token old guy, okay? So I really had to press in, but I made up my mind. I said, I don't want to lose my house, I don't want to lose anything. I don't want, you know, I gotta make this work. I didn't have a choice. Like, in fact, I'll tell you another little secret. First day I met with Professor Grosser, this is before I started classes. I told her what I wanted to do. I wanted to take her program. She looked at me as honest as could be and said, you know, this is really hard. It may not be for older people.
You're getting a job.
But she didn't know what I knew. I didn't have a choice. I couldn't fail. by the way, political correctness is such that now that, I don't think you should say that again. But anyway.
No, it's getting the job I was worried about, getting the job.
Getting a job.
Not learning it, but getting the job.
Yeah, well, fortunately, and that's another reason you're in a good spot. Because my job at Meditech, it pretty much entirely went through BCC. They sent their recruiters here, and then they ignored me once I applied. And what do you call the group over there that they recruit for you? The
Advisors, Student Services, whatever.
Yeah, Student Services, whatever. They drove Meditech nuts until they called me. And they did. And I think we were both really happy with the decision. So, I guess my point is they fought for me. So, now I'm starting to ramble a little bit, but all I can tell you is this. You're here, if you're going to be really successful, if you're going to make it in the programming world, you're up against some of the smartest people in the world, I'm telling you. You're in a perfect spot, though, to learn. And when I say that, don't let that bother you. Don't let that frighten you like you're any less than anybody else. Because if you can really apply the logic that you learn here, you won't be behind anybody. I never felt like I was, with my associate's degree, that I was lesser of a program than the next guy. Now, it helped me a lot that we had a language that you pretty much had to go in there and they taught you all over. But, my job now is working for Meditech. I'm watching the clock.
Yeah, I want to have some time at the end.
Yeah, I'll make it real quick. I work in the updates group. I've been there my whole time. I probably could move on. If I was younger, I would move on. But I don't. I'm old enough that I like working in Fall River. I might have to move on, and I don't want to do that. So I'm happy where I am. I'm not trying to advance. But I can tell you, the way Meditech works is everybody's hired in an entry-level position, and every promotion is from within. So that, there's places to go if you'll put your mind to it. I've had opportunities. I just don't want to do it. But basically, we support hospitals, okay? In the update group, we help every time hospital updates or program updates or software, we're the group that does it. Just to give you an idea, when I first joined the group 10 years ago, it would take about 4 hours for a hospital to get their update and to go live with it. They got 4 hours of downtime. Presently, they have about 10 minutes. And it's all because of utilities that we keep writing to make it quicker and quicker and quicker. That's part of our job in the update group. The other part is we make any customs that they have fit in the newest version of the program. But we do everything from, you know, before you get there, admitting, registration, bar, which is billing and receivables, EDM, which is emergency department management. I personally am in MIS, which is Meditech Information Systems. We are in charge of all the dictionaries that all the applications use, like the provider dictionary, or the provider, which is the doctors, the medics, and whatever. But the bottom line is, and if I just could tell you anything, you're in a good place. And I see, my job, I see three areas at Meditech Advance, three areas that you can pretty much choose. And I'm talking on the software end. You can be a computer programmer, and that's what I do. My title is Programmer Analyst. I work with the hospitals. Anything goes down, it's my job to figure out what in the heck happened. And I'm going to tell you, half the time, these guys tell you how hard it is sometimes.
half the time I get a phone call and I'm like, why are they asking me to fix this? I have no clue. But you know, you surprise yourself. You get in there, you know people that you have a guess of people who might know, and you start digging around, and the next thing you know, the problem's solved. That's what I was saying. Software, that's what I do. Networking, that's another big deal. We also just moved everything to the cloud, except we went Google. And I think it's because I think right now we went with Google at a good time. They were actually paying. They were actually paying companies to come on board with them because they wanted to make it look like they were. They had the best of the best. We just moved everything to the Google cloud, and then. The tech side of it, which is all, you know, the hardware, it's not really hardware, it's anything technical like Windows, things like that. That's kind of networking, the same kind of area. And then the third thing I would say is web. That's one thing that's kind of turned our company around. We were the first, and still kind of are one of the first, to make our software totally web accessible. Nobody else, everybody else, they need a desktop client, what we call a thick client, to run their software. But we can do it exclusively on the web. And that's a big deal. So between the three of them, man, you guys got it covered here. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I know the homework sucks, but you will be prepared when you get there, and then you can make decent money, and you don't have to worry about losing a job. So if you're looking for a career, all I can say is you've done good, guys. And if you're looking for a place to learn that career, you've done really good, guys. That's it.
Why don't you all go up, and then you can take questions.
Don't forget, no classes tomorrow.
And now you gotta ask questions.
Do you guys find that specialization in languages is better, or do you find that generalization is better?
From my experience, being specialized is good, but you could find yourself, you could pigeonhole yourself at the same time. So it's good to have a broad knowledge as much as you can. But the specific is what might get you to the door first.
Yeah, that's well said. I would say generalization is really good because if the time comes that you need to get specific, you can learn. If you've got the logic and everything down, the generalization, how things work, you can learn a language faster than you think. You're kind of going to surprise yourself. That's all I can tell you. Especially if you get lucky and it's a language on the web. That's one thing scary about Meditech. You can't Google anything. That's a little frightening. But, yeah. Web.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, you know, when I first got my job and whatnot, it was JavaScript, jQuery that got me in. Now I'm learning a ton every day. And every day is something new. You know, someone else is saying, oh, you know, how do I add this particular thing into my application? I'd be like, what's that? Google! And then you go, okay, that's what it is, and I'm now writing all this stuff into this, and okay, here you go. I can work with that. Cool.
Yeah. Pretty accurate.
So you just kind of roll with the punches. You got to be smart about it. By all means, just something to keep in mind too. Although you are in a really great, secure it's most likely that you've got a secure field right here. Keep in mind, you got to do the work. This is, it's, there's no, that you have to climb that wall to get to where you need to, because if you don't, and you just get the, if you go through a network and you're like, oh, geez, Dolly, I'm just going to get a job and it's going to be fun. It's not like that at all. You've got to push. You've got to know people. You've got to understand what's out there. Indeed.com's great. Everything, try to understand how to do interviews. Just get as much resourceful information as you can, and it will, like, seriously help you in the long run.
I'd like to add a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you had asked about a resume, and they always ask you, or in an interview, they always ask you what's your strongest strength and what's your weak point. And I want to say, push your strong points. Put everything on your resume that you, even if you just have a little bit of it, put it on there, and you don't know what might trigger it. Like, I'm working with Access Databases. I didn't have a class in Access Database here. I took VBA one semester, and but I put it on my resume. And, you know, you go and talk in your resume, and don't be afraid. Don't sell yourself short. Push all your strengths and just talk about how good you are.
Sure. I was just at Carnegie Mellon University last week in Pittsburgh. Me and my boss went out there to go interview and do some recruiting at the university. And a big part of it was a lot of these languages that these students had on their resumes doesn't not relate to what's happening, we don't even know about, right? But what people look for is, are you going to be a good fit? Do you have the capacity to learn this stuff, you know? And so to answer you, like, to kind of touch upon your thing, too, right, about more specific, more general, I think that, like, what you get put onto a team, you're probably going to be assigned to specifics. So, like, you're going to have to learn what it is. Yeah. If you have experience, great, it might help you get it. But, you know, sometimes you have proprietary things, you can't have that experience, so you have to have that general knowledge. And learn, and like, to me, and I bet Francisco is probably the same here, and probably a lot of us up here are, I think part of the thing that helped me kind of stick out from the pack was that I loved doing it, right? Like, I was, even, like, at home on my own time, I was building things, trying to learn and watch YouTube and watch, you know, whatever, Pluralsight. And that also helps you tremendously.
Yeah. I would say, too, it's just, from my experience, you can't be complacent or just get too comfort, you know, like, you gotta get out of your comfort zone. And I see a lot of young people out there, don't be afraid to go to Boston, get a job out there, don't be afraid of that.
Or bring the job back home.
Yeah, or bring the job back home, because a lot of times you can't go get a job there and work remotely, you know, and you can still live here in Fall River or around. And the other thing is, know when it's time to move on, like, know when it's time, because if you're good, you're going to keep increasing, you're climbing that ladder, and maybe the people around you are not at the same pace. And then you want to work with sharks, go where the sharks are, you know? Like, if you want to be a shark, go find the sharks. You know, that's the advice I can give. Don't be complacent. Always keep moving. Always keep learning. Always keep advancing your skill set. And that's the generalization that you want to look for.
I think the consensus, one of the things that we'll all agree on is, while we're all saying, yeah, you made a good choice being here, and you're going to work hard. And that's why I said this class is good for you. Having Professor Grosser, it's not easy. If you want a job where you can coast, then, man, stop already, because this isn't it. But if you want a job where you can be challenged and where you can learn new things every day, this is an awesome career, awesome, and a rewarding career.
You can use whatever you learn in programming with other parts too, right? Like, I mean, if you guys get into design or marketing, it's always, you know, you can use this, or even just generally entrepreneurship. Knowing tech, knowing how to, at least having an idea about it, it's going to help you.
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs that, like, programming-wise, but then there's a lot around it. Like, you can be a scrum master, you can, like, work in business, you can be in between the business and the technology, like, I forgot what the lady's name was. So it's not for everyone, but there are many jobs around technology that do require some background in, you know, programming or networking or things like that.
So keep in mind, just on a random side, just a benefit about being in IT. It's pretty high paying. I had my bachelor's degree, I was making about 30K less than what I'm making now. When I start, it's gone up. So, I mean, like, it's this here, this job, and you know, before it's like, you know, struggling, trying to get ahead, then you get like, hell. Forward, like honestly, this is a good field to be in if you want to make money. You know, there's so much out there. So, does anyone else have any questions specifically about like the job? What's up?
Would you put like education over experience or kind of experience over education?
Depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Because there's some people, I know someone who has just his bachelor's degree, and he went, but he's a the genius. He's actually works, he's the guy I was talking about with Microsoft. He's a MVP. And he's so freaking involved and so, like, he goes above and beyond. But it's a criminal justice degree. So honestly, but he's also been doing it for years. He's been doing computer science for years. So it does matter in that end too. It really, what you bring on the table, how you are as a developer or anything. Certifications are amazing. Just keep going and get involved.
Some of the best, most talented people I've worked come across don't even have college degrees.
Yeah.
But
it's not always easy to get that first job, though.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you being here, though, you should value a lot of the relationships you're making with people inside of you, people up here, your professor. That's kind of what you're paying for, too.
As you guys were going through your classes, what was the one thing that you think you all struggled with?
Time management, trying to make sure that you've got everything done at this, like you have to and at the same time you've got personal stuff at home or something like that that might be actually causing you to also be hindered, or work, you have to do that. It's time management and getting all the work done. In the end though, it's worth it. Like I think that was the toughest part.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think that homework, that work will obviously also tell you about yourself and the decision you made to choose this as a career or, you know, a path that you want. Because if you're not interested in doing the homework, then it's probably not for you. And if you're doing okay in the homework, like, then, you know, it's probably not for you. Like, if you do well and you're intrigued by it, then, you know, then keep on going.
But it's okay if you don't get it right now, right? I mean, like, when I was sitting there, like, I was in big trouble. And it's, you know, I tell everybody, you have to kind of smack your head against something long enough, and then once you do, like, it just kind of sinks in and you get it.
Yeah.
But it's painful to get there, right?
Seriously. Right now, if you're thinking at all within the semester that this is boring, or if it's like, good heavens, why am I doing this? Really consider your career in the future. I mean this in all honesty. Like, if you don't feel like it's good, like, really consider it. When I was going through my bachelor's degree, I was a C student. I just went willy-nilly and just was like, all right, I got my homework done. It's cool. I'm going to get my bachelor's degree. And, you know, that's what happened there. And now, I came back to computer science, 4.0 GPA. And, like, I loved it. It was awesome. It was like, I was in, 100%, that's it. Commitment and feeling like you want to do it every single day is something that also matters. So.
Surround yourself with people that are doing it, right? Get that help. Reach out to your mentors, reach out to your co-students.
I have a question. Do you find that you need a lot of patience to be in this field?
Yes.
Like, I fucking JavaScript again. 20 minutes later, I still don't know what's wrong.
It's not working. Being stubborn is good, because I'm not very patient. So.
You have to have hope.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a curse and a gift. It's you know, oh, that's not working. Bet I can make that work. I hope I can make that work. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, it is very like that. Yeah, being patient, stubborn, and positive, yeah.
There will be lots of times where you're hitting your head against that keyboard, believe me.
A lot of it is basics.
Absolutely.
Just the basics. Till this day, like, I understand, I work with people with master's degrees, and I have to
give them code reviews, and a lot of them, they just don't understand the basics. So you just have to go and really, you know, understand the basics and progress from there, you know.
And leverage your peers. Yeah. Problem JavaScript, whatever problem you're working on, I'm sure somebody else has had that problem.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody, talk to your professor, talk to him, talk to him.
No, it's just the easiest thing for the same. I put it in and it's not working.
Class, so stay and talk to them. Yep. If they want to.
Yeah, I'm scared.
It's just literal text.
No. Right, well, I'm
that's what he was trying to say.
Next step,